Welcome to Listener's Advisory, the San Diego Public Library podcast. Are you currently on the hunt for something new to read, watch, or listen to that might not be at the library? No worries, we got you covered with another installment of Q-Time. So stick around. This should be fun. Hey folks, Bob here with another edition of Q-Time, this time with Listener's Advisory co-host and library shop manager, Scott Eric Burgess. Scott, how are you, my friend?
Bob, thank you for having me. I feel under pressure being the second contributor to Q-Time after the amazing Jennifer Jenkins and her Taylor Swift rants, which were awesome. So I don't know how I'm going to follow that with energy, but I'll do what I can.
It is a hard act to follow, I will say that. So real quick, before we get started, if you didn't catch our previous Q-Time episode and aren't quite familiar with what we're doing, this is a new segment where we talk to librarians or individuals who are library adjacent, such as Scott here, about what they're currently reading, watching, and listening to. The purpose of this segment is to provide pop culture recommendations beyond SDPL's traditional collections and resources. With that being said, Scott, what are you currently reading?
Well, Bob, before I begin that, I do feel a certain obligation to prove my Swifty bona fides here on the podcast because Jennifer Jenkins has kind of laid down the gauntlet. So while I am not a Swifty per se, I have immense respect for Taylor Swift. And if you listen to the Cory Doctorow podcast interview we did a month back, you'll remember we discussed Taylor Swift's kind of baller move to claim back her copyright of her entire catalog by re-recording them. I think that's one of the most innovative ways to handle what the big music companies are trying to do to artists. So big respect for her. And I also heard a fun fact that I'll just throw out real quick was media coverage. So recently there was an article about the royal family scandal. Do you know about this?
Where's Charles, where's Kate,
all this nonsense. So they mentioned the media reach that the royal family has. So the presidential election in America had like 40,000 articles written about it in this time span they analyzed. The royal family had 150,000. But Taylor Swift lapped all of them with 450,000 media mentions in that period. So Taylor Swift is a thing. So let's move on to what I've read.
Let's do it.
And these were two titles for work. Because we had these authors here at the library recently, so I had the privilege of not only reading these, but seeing the authors in action at libraries. So the first author is Cesar Cuauhtemoc Garcia Hernandez. Forgive my terrible Spanish. I apologize for that. The book is called Welcome the Wretched, in defense of the criminal alien. So Cesar was at the Logan Heights Branch Library last month and had a great event. The argument of the book is for separating immigration enforcement from the criminal legal system. So I had never really thought about this before, but if you're here in the country unlawfully, as we've deemed it, and you commit a crime, even a misdemeanor, you are eligible to be deported. Even if you're here on asylum, if you still have a case processing, they can deport you. So he makes a really compelling argument of why are we deporting folks for crimes that have nothing to do with the reason that they're being reviewed for staying in the country, right? You think of all the mistakes you made in your life and how those crimes had very little consequence on your future. But if you are here in the country trying to get asylum and you commit that same kind of minor offense, your life could be completely upended. So it's a really powerful book. It's a thorough history of immigration in America. There was a lot of stuff going back to the 1920s, which was when it first became a concept to be illegal. I didn't know a lot of the history. A lot of it is, of course, like many things in our past, it has a lot to do with race. And so immigration law has always been sort of arbitrarily applied based on your ethnicity. Canada has the largest number of immigration violations are Canadians, yet many of those go unprosecuted. So overstaying your visa is the most common immigration crime in America. So it's pretty eye-opening. I recommend it. Welcome the Wretched. And then another book I just finished was 2020 by Eric Kleineberg. And it is the book that nobody really thought we wanted, right? Which is a book about the pandemic. Like, we had to live through the pandemic. Now we get to read about it.
I wasn't going to say anything when I saw the title, but yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. So the subtitle is One City, Seven People in the Year Everything Changed. So Eric is a sociologist, very well respected. He wrote a book called Palaces for the People, which I've talked about before on the podcast. He is a big library stan. He loves coming to San Diego Public Library. He was here in February. And the book follows seven people all in New York, so the different boroughs, through the pandemic. And it has interspersed one chapter about the pandemic in 2020 and all the data and all the sociology nerd stuff, and then one chapter where it's a real focus on these particular characters. And so all walks of life, it was really interesting. His main thesis is that, like the way you and I laugh about wanting to read a book about 2020, he's saying that was a year that we all treat as an exception, right? And we think, oh, that was a black swan event. We don't have to deal with that. We don't have to think about it. And he thinks it's very important for us to all kind of process what happened, what we learned about ourselves. The statistics are kind of startling. For example, violent crime was up across the board. Hit and runs were up in 2020, despite the fact that we were all locked in our houses, right? So we expressed ourselves in ways that I don't think we've really reckoned with yet. And our results during the pandemic, statistically, are outliers from the way other countries dealt with it. And, you know, part of that is the political division, and he writes about that. But part of it is just, I think, this system, this capitalist system that we are in, and the results you get out of that. So it was kind of depressing, eye-opening. There's one great chapter about a gentleman who was in no way political, no way radicalized. He had a bar. He had just started a bar in, I think, Queens. And the pandemic hit right when he got his license to open his bar and instantly got closed down and was facing financial ruin. And eventually, fast forward, he found someone online who was an activist trying to fight against pandemic close downs. And through this, he became really radicalized and really went far anti-government and ended up declaring his bar an autonomous zone and keeping it open during the pandemic. And he just descended into this just really kind of vile echo chamber online, and he now deeply regrets it, but won't talk to Eric anymore because of this book. But it was a fascinating look into how just someone who has no real political viewpoint can just easily become radicalized in this kind of echo chamber we have now, right, with social media. And
I remember seeing a lot of people or things that were seemingly apolitical become not only politicized but radically politicized during the pandemic, and it was such a bummer, you know.
Yeah, right. We had this kind of rare opportunity to all pause and reflect, and a lot of us just got angrier, right?
Yeah. Anyway. It was tough. There were certainly things that happened during the deep parts of the pandemic that were so heart-wrenching that I remember thinking to myself, like, I need to like hold on to this and really internalize it and make sure that I carry this forward in my life if we get past all this. And, you know, a lot of that stuff is just
back to normal.
Yep, back to normal.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say both of those books are available in the library shop, Bob, and we have signed copies. So check it out.
Right on. So what are you currently watching?
So I think I'm going to cheat on this one, and I'm going to combine the watching and listening. Is that allowed on the podcast?
I ask for three things.
Three things. Okay. Well, then I'll do what I was watching, which was Shogun. So I decided to watch the first episode because there's a lot of buzz about it. My wife and I watched it. We're both Japanophiles. I was never into the James Clavell novel, Shogun. My stepdad read it, though, when he read like every historical fiction, you know, book in his summers. He was a school teacher, so he would sit on the couch and read 1,000-page historical fiction, James Michener, all that, you know, guy stuff, right? I was kind of disappointed. The production values are amazing. but I just wasn't into it. It seemed very bro-heavy to me. So I'm going to recommend, instead of watching Shogun, put down your TVs and pick up a book called The Thousand Autumns of Jacob de Zoet, which is by David Mitchell. It is set in the exact same time period as Shogun, but it's a super interesting literary novel, and it's got a little fantasy in it too for folks that get bored by history too much. So I think that's a better way to consume that early period where Japan was closed to the West.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. I had a cold a couple weeks ago, and I stayed home, and I just watched like 15 samurai movies. I watched the Musashi trilogy.
Oh, yeah, those are great.
Lone Wolf and Cub. I watched Lady Snowblood.
Is Lone Wolf and Cub the base? Is Shogun Assassin, I think, is maybe the Western title. Is it the guy with the baby carriage?
Yes.
Yes. That's, yes. So when I worked at a video store, that was known as Shogun Assassin, and okay, that was gotcha. One of our favorite like midnight movie picks for people. That is a great film. So it's called Lady in the...
Well, there's a series of them.
Yeah,
there's
okay.
a series of them, and I watched the first film, but I was just trying to like watch as much as I could, stuff that I wouldn't normally watch, like with my family, because I was at home,
yeah.
just, you know, laying in bed for days on end. And I remember wanting to go back and be like, okay, Shogun's coming out. This looks like a great series to kind of follow up that role that I've been on. But, you know, I know that there's kind of like a white savior character in it. And I was like,
yeah, for sure.
I don't think I have an appetite for that right now. But when I read the reviews, they seem to suggest that there's a different perspective that the show is from. And so there's less of that. So for what it's worth.
I got that. And I felt that. So the whole thing is in Japanese, which is a change from the, you know, TV show back in the 80s or wherever
right.
it was. But I feel like that was the work they did to make it less of a Western lens. And I just feel like it just had subtitles, but it was still the same character arcs and everything. But I only watched a couple episodes. So that was my watch. Can I now pivot to my listening?
Please do.
Okay.
So. What are you listening to, Scott?
Oh, thanks for asking, Bob. So I am watching and listening at the same time because, as everyone knows, I consume my podcast through YouTube because I'm of a certain age and the algorithm understands me. So it tends to feed me Lex Fridman podcasts on my algorithm, which disturbs me because I'm not a fan of Lex Fridman. I'm not a big fan. I feel like he is, if Joe Rogan was not a meathead, he would be Lex Fridman. Like Lex, to his credit, he does these deep dive interviews with folks. He really asks good questions. He steel mans a lot, which is like something folks do when they think that they're being unbiased.
Okay.
So his concept is, I'm going to steel man the other side of the argument to see if my biases hold up to this.
Okay.
They do that a lot on the show, which to me feels like they're in an echo chamber and they don't realize it. But put that aside, he also loves, he has a deep love of robots, which is interesting to me. He's a computer scientist, super smart guy. His podcast is huge. He gets, Jeff Bezos comes on the show, Elon Musk. Everybody he wants to be on the Lex Fridman podcast. Now, my criticism of him would be there's no diversity. It's almost all white men, either scientists or billionaires for some reason. And there's almost no women on the show. So having said that, I still let the algorithm feed this to me. And so I end up watching a lot. So one that caught my attention was a recent interview he did with Yann LeCun, who is a French computer scientist. He is one of the three godfathers of AI. He's currently an academic, but he's also the chief AI scientist at Meta. And so Meta is working on an AI platform called Llama, which is open source, which goes against the whole ethos of sort of the big tech right now, who are all doing their own proprietary AI models, right, to try to take over the world. And so I thought it was really interesting because I don't know if you're familiar with this, Bob, but we are currently in a AI hype bubble. Do you know about this?
I've heard a couple things about
that. Have you listened to the podcast episode that I keep mentioning with Cory Doctorow that we did?
I have indeed, yes.
Yeah, so Cory is an AI skeptic. I would say Jan, because he's one of the godfathers of AI, is more of a realist. So he kind of dismisses a lot of Corey's concerns, but he also dismisses the folks who are convinced that artificial general intelligence is just around the corner. So I thought it was a good interview to watch to like ground you in not being too alarmed about all these things on one side or the other. It is nearly 3 hours, the interview, because Lex Fridman now can do whatever he wants. And so his interviews have grown longer and longer over the years. This is the third time Jan has been on. The first one was an hour. Second one was 2 hours. This year it was 3 hours. All three are interesting as a trilogy. If you don't want to watch Shogun, you could watch the Jan LeCun podcast trilogy, because it goes 4 years back. So it gives you the whole history of kind of this recent movement in AI. My key takeaways were really that Jan thinks large language models are doomed. So a lot of people think we're days away from the moment the AI becomes smarter than all of us and either, you know, takes away all of our jobs, we don't have to work anymore, everything's super perfect, or it enslaves us. His point is that AI models that are trained on text can never get that artificial general intelligence. They can never become a thinking machine, because if you think about the way we as humans learn, a four-year-old child experiences so much of their education through sensory information. And the amount of information that a toddler is bringing into his brain trumps all the language out there, all the text that you could teach a computer. So the example he gives in the podcast is you can teach a teenager to drive in 20 minutes, whereas Tesla's full self-driving has been years and they still don't have it perfected. And so until you give up this model of feeding a computer text, you got to do it another way to get there. And so he thinks we're decades away. He says the solution is going to be world-based rather than word-based. And then he also mentions that AI doomers are kind of anthropomizing computers. It's not inevitable that they're going to want to harm us. Even if there are evil AIs that are developed, there's going to be good AIs, and those good AIs will combat the bad, just like people. And then the final point that I thought was interesting on the podcast was the Google mess up recently. Google had an AI image generator that had been trained for DEI. And so all the anti-DEI people are kind of pointing to it as why it doesn't work, because it generated an image of George Washington as a black man, all that stuff. So he says the threat is not that you get a woke AI. The threat is that the three largest tech companies in the world are going to be the ones that decide the future of the world by developing these closed models. So his main call is that everything needs to be open source, because that's the only way we'll have diversity in AI. And there shouldn't be one AI for all the cultures and all the languages in the world. It needs to be a diverse solution. So super interesting. It took me like 2 weeks to watch it because I had to watch it twice. And Lex and Jan have a very monotone voice. So I fell asleep a couple times. I had to rewind. But it's worthwhile if you want to kind of get caught up on AI news. So what are you reading, Bob?
So generally, I don't speak too loudly about books that I'm reading that fall into the 150s Dewey number, which is
For a non-librarian, you have to clarify that for me.
For non-librarians, that would be the genre of self-help. And so I, however, will go on record as saying that I'm currently reading Charles Duhigg's latest title, Super Communicators: How to Unlock the Secret Language of Connection. The book just came out this year, so it's brand new. For those people that aren't familiar with Duhigg, he's a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist. He works for the New York Times. He wrote this like mega bestseller, Power of Habit. I'm a relatively new manager, and so I'm still very much looking for ways to get better at my job. Big part of that is communication. So not only do I want to better communicate with my subordinates, but also up my chain of command with other people in the organization. I saw Duhigg on my timeline kind of multiple times, and what he was saying sounded pretty interesting. So I thought, what the heck, let me give it a shot. So
I think a book, Super Communicators, sounds super valuable to me because every misunderstanding I think I've ever had in any job is always about communication, right? And whether you think you're communicating or not, if the other person doesn't hear you or understand it, it doesn't matter, right?
Right, right. And that's been true for me as well. So hopefully I'll be able to glean some good stuff from this book.
Keep us posted. So that's what you're reading, Bob. What are you watching right now?
So currently I'm watching, or I should say just finished, a Netflix series called The Gentleman by Guy Ritchie. Mm-hmm. Haven't followed Guy Ritchie for a long time, not since like the Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch days. I know that
I jumped off when he went with Madonna, I think, is what happened to
me,
right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. I know he's been working this whole time, but you know, I just haven't been following. I did watch the Sherlock Holmes movies that he did. Don't remember them. Mm. Remember seeing them and remembering that I enjoyed them, but do I remember anything about them? No, not at all. The show follows series lead Theo James, who you might remember from season 2 of The White Lotus. Were you into that show?
I watched season 1 on a couch babysitting somebody's kid, and I haven't gotten back to season 2.
Vile show.
That was the takeaway.
So he plays Eddie Helmstead, an aristocrat who unexpectedly inherits his father's estate and title. And so with that comes a whole bunch of baggage, including his father's ongoing business dealings with the mob. And so as you might expect, hilarity ensues. I don't think there's anything really new about this. In fact, the series is named after a film called The Gentleman that Guy Ritchie did. It's very much what you'd expect from like his crime stories. This one was just kind of a fun show for me, something to escape with. You know, I'm often wrapped up in the pursuit of like prestige television. And so I'm always looking for this like highbrow stuff. And as we all know, there's less and less and less of that stuff. So while this was well done, it was more fun than anything for me.
All right. Then what are you listening to?
Currently, I'm listening to a podcast called Disgraceland, which is hosted by a guy named Jake Brennan. The pod tells stories of like rock stars and other folks connected to the entertainment industry. The episodes are kind of like mini biographies. They tend to focus on like the more wacky and sordid details of these people's lives. They do at times fictionalize details for storytelling purposes. And in fact, they build the pod as entertainment inspired by true events.
Is it like a narrative format then? It's like dramatized?
Yeah, exactly. I got 2 episodes that I'd recommend. The first one was the Halloween episode about the Misfits.
So cool.
I only started listening to the Misfits like 5 years ago. So I'm not wrapped up in all the lore of the Misfits and their background. So it was really interesting to hear about Glenn Danzig and how he formed the band and all the things that informed his work. What I will say for that particular episode is stick around to the end because there's a big payoff. The second episode that I can recommend is the Johnny Paycheck episode. Are you familiar with Johnny Paycheck?
I hope the podcast records me picking up this pen and writing Disgraceland podcast. Is that right?
Disgraceland podcast.
Continue, Bob, please.
So the Johnny Paycheck episode is outstanding. If you're not familiar with Johnny Paycheck, he was a country singer that made the tune Take This Job and Shove It popular. Yeah. It was very popular in the 70s and 80s. The guy was an insane person, just gnarly alcoholic, an outlaw, general wild man. He actually went to jail for shooting a man. So entertaining to say the least. Disgraceland podcast, highly recommend.
I'm there like in the car on the way home today. So thank you.
Rad. Well, hey, thanks, Scott. Appreciate you coming through.
Anytime.
That's going to do it for today's episode. I'd like to thank my co-host, Scott Eric Burgess. For more information on the titles and resources mentioned in today's episode, please see our show notes or visit us at sandiego.gov/SDPL podcast. This podcast is supported by the Library Foundation SD. For more information on the good work they do, visit librafoundationsd.org. If you like what we're doing here at Listener's Advisory, please consider sharing our podcast on your social media, leave us a rating or review via your favorite podcast directory, or tell someone you know about us. Thanks in advance.